There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Angels, welcome back to Return to the Shadows. Today, we have another very special deep dive interview with none other than Ryan Reed, who is the head of hair department on Shadowhunters Season 1. He is responsible not only for Clary's fiery, curly hair, to the Lightwood's luscious locks, to Jace Whalen's slicked back do, and everything in between, the magic of Magnus Bane's hair, and all of the creatures that you saw in the Shadow World in Season 1. We get to dive deep with him about creating this world, other source material that he's worked with in the past, and what he's gone on to in the future, as well as some exciting new prospects. Ryan is one of our favorite folks that we got to work with throughout the series and is just such a lovely, wonderful human. We can't wait to share him and his mastery with you. Hello, Ryan. How are you?
Hi, Ryan. How are you, buddy?
I am great. Nice to see you guys.
Good to see you, too. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, no problem. No problem.
Where are you, Ryan? What are you up to?
I'm currently working on an Amazon project in Scotland. So
amazing.
That's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Almost done.
Almost done. You're at that final push.
Yeah. Final push. So that's why you see some wigs and stuff in the trailer.
Fantastic. Well, we couldn't do this Season 1 rewatch and deep dive without talking to you, of course.
Oh, thank you.
For sure. Ryan, why don't we start with, if you wouldn't mind, telling us who you are, what your job was on the show, and maybe how you got involved in the show.
Yeah, no problem. Well, Ryan Reed, I was the hair designer, or the HOD, of Shadowhunter Season 1. And how did I get involved in the show? I can't really recall who approached me for it, but I was really excited to work with Don Carmody, who was one of the producers, you know, because he did the original Shadowhunters movie and, you know, pretty big producer at the time. So I decided, you know, it would be good to have that connect. And then it was, the bonus was meeting all of you guys.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Aww.
our favorite so far for saying that. Thanks very much.
Well, as we've been going back through, you know, the episodes and everything else, it really is every single department. And, you know, there were so many, not only people, but designers and artists that really made the show what it was, particularly in season one, as we were able to develop it, given that it had been a movie and a book series and all these things. And you were such a huge part of that. And, you know, I've obviously done so many other things before and after. So start us off with how you got started in hair design and what was your, you know, original inspiration for this career path?
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah, starting off with a super light question, Ryan, like we're going to ease you right in. How did you decide what you wanted to do with your entire life? Let's jump in right there.
I'll be honest, I kind of always loved the performing aspect of entertainment, but I'm not a good actor. So that's really what it was.
That can't be true.
I highly
because you're a very smiley guy, and we had some shitty days on Shadowhunters, and you were still smiling. Like, I've seen you act. I've seen it happen, and it was flawless.
This is true. No. In real life, I'm a good actor, but I'm a horrible scripted actor.
I see.
Yeah. There's a big difference. So, you know what? It's just I've kind of, and hair was always a natural talent that I had. So it kind of went hand in hand, but I didn't know there was a viable job that I could do with hair and the film industry. Of course, now that I'm in it, it makes perfect sense, but I didn't know how to get there. I didn't know it was even an option. And luckily enough for me, one of my really good friends, she had started agency work doing makeup, and she discovered there was a need for me. Specifically, she's like, Ryan, we need you. I don't know why she said that, but she did.
Wow.
And so she helped get me jobs doing music videos and such. So I kind of started off doing that, and then the odd commercial, and then one thing led to another, union film work and television. So that's kind of how it started.
There's like a fun sort of interesting parallel, I think, that I think people and potentially the listeners will think that what we do is so different, but really the escalation of careers is normally fairly similar, like either commercials or music videos, then someone sort of starts taking chances on you and you get smaller bits on bigger shows and then bigger bits on bigger shows or movies or whatever. Like the actual progression steps are pretty much the same, arguably, no?
I 1000% agree with that. And I kind of think it's important. It's important to take those baby steps.
I agree.
The non-union things and the smaller stuff, because then it prepares you for bigger things to come.
Totally. Yeah.
You can kind of get your training wheels on and learn how a sit day on set works and how you go about, you know, taking care of little problems that come up, because inevitably we all know as much as you plan and as much as you prepare, everything always goes wrong and you have to roll with the punches.
Yep. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. Quite literally rolling with the punches in our case.
You got to roll with the punches. And you have to be creative. Yeah, you have to be creative rolling with those punches, I think.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, exactly. I mean, on film sets, it's all about creativity and time management.
Totally.
That's a really good point, actually. You know, a lot of people focus more on the creativity side of what it is that we do. But there is a good deal there's a good deal of it that goes into what we do, that is being creative on a time budget. Which a lot of people don't necessarily consider, especially in your department, because
which is actually, I think, a very interesting thing that I don't know if you've experienced this, but from my experience sitting in the chair having my hair and makeup done, it's a sort of congruent through line on any job that I've ever been, is people come in and be like, how much time do you need with these guys? And you're a bit like, the answer is always, I could release them now if you want them to look like shit. Like I could let go of them right now, but the job's not done. Like we need the time to do that thing, but it is so interesting because it is every set that I've ever been on. We seem to have that similar issue, and the hair always takes the same and the makeup always takes the same and I'm always on time. So I don't really know where that issue comes from. You know, like we haven't changed any of the variables, so I don't fully get it.
Yeah. It's a tough one because people, I feel like with hair, makeup, costumes specifically, that's where they try to crunch the time for the rest of the day for everything else. Where it's like, well, we set the tone in the morning, we're as fast as we can possibly be, really.
Yeah.
And but you know, they just kind of cracked the whip. It says, you know, could you go faster? Because we're losing the light. Whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's always something. There's, you know, there's always a time budget, and they're trying to figure out where to pull time from wherever they can. But you know what? Everyone benefits from having the time to have the job actually complete in the end.
Right.
I agree. Ryan, I have a question for you that I sort of have asked kind of everyone's thus far that we've had on, especially about season one. And Kat and I have discussed this a little. But there was this huge responsibility. As you mentioned, this movie had already been done once. Then it was a series of books that was incredibly popular. And there is this huge responsibility. Kat and I have discussed it from the point of view of creating these characters from sort of a physical or emotional sense. But a large part of how we looked was, you know, leveled to you as your responsibility. So how did that feel? Was there like a trepidation to coming to this, or did you accept the challenge? And I personally think we all looked fantastic. But there is this level of like pressure that comes with, you know what I mean? There's a level of pressure that comes with like, oh, there's going to be a lot of eyes on this very quickly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting that you say this, and maybe I was a little naive, not realizing how super popular this show would have been. Because I absolutely did love the movie, and I knew that but my thing with when you're recasting, and doing a series, I don't want the characters to look exactly like the characters did in the movie.
I want that discussion with you.
Whoever's playing that character to be their best version of that character. Like for example, Clary had red hair, but it didn't have to be the exact red that was in the movie. Mm-hmm. Or, you know what I mean? Like those were the things that they're story points, but they don't have to be exact. And for me, it's always like, I rely then on you guys to do the rest, like your acting skills to kind of like make it believable. And you know, we kind of set the foundation and you build on that.
Mm-hmm. And it's so important as well, you know, speaking about that, because I can speak from my point of view that, and I think Ryan, I don't know if you remember, but the big like start of the transition to getting into character for me is my accent will change, obviously. And that starts sort of right at the beginning of the day, normally before I've even come in to get to see you guys. And then step number two is getting my hair and makeup done. And all of a sudden I feel like my shoulders come back and I sit a little taller and I'm starting to feel a little more like Jace, because I'm starting to physically look like Jace. I think for most actors, this is a big step to like, this is how we start our day correctly. You know what I mean? Having people who are professional, who are talented, who are nice as well as a huge benefit, really does start us off in the right direction. So thanks for being that guy, Ryan. Thanks for sorting us out in the mornings, you know?
And yeah,
let me
second that as well. You know, I always end up in the hair and makeup trailer, even when, you know, there's downtime on set, because that's where it's just always a safe space. And it's always usually pretty quiet when there's not a ton of people around, and you can just sit and have a conversation and be a human being for a few minutes. But also to echo what Dom said, there's something about particularly characters like this in the modern sense that get up in the morning every day, ostensibly, and put themselves together. And so you creating whatever the hair is for that character is ultimately what that character would choose to do to themselves. So that's and each little detail is a choice that person has made, and it informs so much about who they are. And when you look in the mirror, it's suddenly, as Dom said, you're becoming that person, you're putting on that mask. It's just another aspect of putting on the character every morning, and to have someone who, you know, cares as much about that as we do is a big deal.
Yeah. And you know what, you guys do care a lot about it. And for me as a designer, I'm very aware of that and that transition that you guys make. But also on the other side of it, to have two leads such as yourself, with the good energy that you guys brought in every morning, that makes a world of a difference, because then that makes me be able to do my work really good when you guys come in with the good energy, and then it's reciprocal. Then you guys are happy as well. So it's kind of like a full circle morning moment.
Morning moment.
Well, thanks, Ryan.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good.
Full circle morning moment. More of those, please.
More full circles. So talking about the mornings and like trying to be in a good mood in the mornings, you know, because I think a lot of people don't really know really what goes into making a show with something like shadow or dark or light in the title. We spend a lot of time working at night, like a lot of time working in the evenings. So speak to us and tell the audience a little about that, because Kat and I have spoken about this quite a bit as well. It was a bit of a shock to the system. And I think, did you do The Strain before or after this?
Oh, did I do The Strain before? I think I did The Strain before Shadowhunters, and there was a lot of nights.
So you were a little more used to it.
You're never used to it. I hate nights. I hate working nights. You know, so I'm obsessed. I was obsessed growing up with vampires, and I know I could not be one.
No, there's no way.
I do not
because
like
you can't
nights.
Do nights.
No, I can't do nights.
No,
just blackout curtains, Ryan. It's fine. Yeah,
you
can make it work.
The most miserable vampire. Can you imagine?
This
is forever. This is the rest of my forever. Yeah. Wow.
No, night shooting. It's not my favorite. And I didn't anticipate. I don't know why I did not anticipate nights. It's in the title, Shadowhunters.
We're hunting shadows, Ryan. Can't do it during the day.
It's literally in the title. Like I didn't either. I was just like, let's do it. This is gonna be great. New sets, this is gonna be awesome. No, night times, so many night times, so many Fridays that rolled into Saturdays. And to even break it down to the days, like we've been doing it for 4 months, and like I'll text Matt and I'll be like, we're in on Friday, but like, I don't think it's going to be that long. I'll meet you for drinks afterwards. Will I fuck? What was I thinking? Like, absolutely not. I'm not finishing till 4 on Saturday morning.
No.
There's no way. What was I thinking?
No.
Yeah.
We'll have breakfast wine together at 6 a.m. On Saturday morning.
Mimosas.
Mimosas at Raz. We never did that. Why did we never do that? That would have been fun.
Didn't think about it.
Yeah. Very little thought. That early in the morning when you've been working for 12 hours, I think everyone's just like in the car, try not to crash on the way home. Those are my two MOs.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had other things on the mind, like making a TV show and oh my goodness.
Do you have any, is there a standout moment in Shadowhunters? One for you, like maybe as a favorite moment, but two as a moment where you were able to sort of look back and go, wow, we're actually doing something. This is really good. Because you never really know, you know, at least again, from our point of view, you can be involved in a show and you can go, this looks amazing and everyone hates it. Or you can be involved in a show and you're like, I'm really not sure about this. And then everyone loves it. Like you just have no idea how it's going to be received. So I wonder if you had a moment where you saw it and went, oh yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
Or the opposite, if you thought the opposite.
No, I never had the opposite. I'm super critical of my own work, but I think for me, satisfaction is when you are designing, like, you know, just the different types of creatures, I guess, like the fairies, or, you know, looking at like how we did like the werewolf people or the vampires, or and just seeing all these worlds coming together. And that there was a clear difference.
Yeah.
Like I appreciate looking back at that, or being on set and looking at these massive, background days and saying, you know what, this works. It's believable. I believe that I'm in this specific place with these people, and that you guys are kind of weaving your way through the crowds, and, you know, but stand out, you know, that, and to me that's makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, that's just it. When we've spoken about this a lot in season one, is that each episode sort of established a new aspect of the shadow world, especially right at the beginning. And we were on, you know, such an insane schedule and kind of, you know, I know Dom and I were just getting the scripts as we were shooting, basically. And so, and I'm sure the same, I don't know if the same was for you or not, if you were given a heads up, like, hey, you're doing vampires next week. You might want to think about that. But it was always so impressive as we walked on the set and suddenly we're, as you said, transported into this new world that was fully fleshed out from the set to the costume down to the hair of every single person on set. And so how much of that was you being able to bring your own creativity into it? And how much did they let you kind of play versus how much did, you know, they kind of say we want X, Y, and Z, and or was it collaborative, or how did that really work on the show?
I'll be completely honest. They were super open to everything that I came up with. I don't think anyone,
I don't think
any of the ideas were shut down at all.
Well, that's I think that's a huge compliment to you, because they would shut down ideas. You know, I think they would be very open to the concept of shutting down ideas. So I think what that means is you sent ideas and they liked them. You know, that's really what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it's definitely a testament to you.
Ah, thank you. No, it was fun. It was creative. It was really fun, because I have been on other shows that's more managed their expectations, which means really it's what the producers want, but not Shadowhunters. I found I didn't have that on that show at all.
Amazing.
So, which is really good. It was really, really good. It was so fun.
Yeah.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Let's talk about another question has just come to me. Let's talk about some of the difficulties we had on Shadowhunters. One of the big things that I think people don't tell you ever is that things like hair covering your face or like it not being
perfect,
they don't like that. Like they'll get the dailies and they're like, no, we're not about this. So make sure, you know, it's not covering the face or whatever it is. And you're like, this is a martial arts based show, 90% of which we're shooting outside.
Sweating.
Like that, we have so little control over that sort of thing. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about like the chaos that can ensue?
Yeah, I mean, I think especially Jace's hair falling in the face, that's a thing. That was a bit of a thing, and trying to get it right, because it never looks super cool the way you think it looks. And then you're like, oh, that worked. Oh, that didn't work. How am I going to fix that? so it looks better next time, or do we just add more hairspray,
more couple hairspray.
More hairpins? I don't know.
So much hairspray. So much hairspray.
Did I put too much hairspray? You know,
gallons of hairspray went into Dom's hair on season one alone. Like, my hair had enough, but I'm used to that. But
I can tell you, towards the end, my memory wasn't very good. I was inhaling a lot of it.
Nobody put fire near Dom, because you will
a lot of hairspray.
Set ablaze.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Yeah, maybe too much hairspray. I mean, you know, it's. But then, I mean, weather is always a big thing. So, like, I'm a lot forgiving now when I watch things on in movies or in television, because you never know what the situation is. You don't know if it's been raining or it's a misty, foggy day. There's moisture. There's snow. Who knows what the elements are in lovely Toronto. So you could have all the elements in one day.
Yeah.
You don't know, like, morning to night, you don't know. It's, you know, the morning it's like 30 degrees and it's sunny and everything's great. And the evening it's snowing and you're like, what the fuck, Toronto? Make up your mind. Yeah. This is insane.
We just did a rewatch of episode 11, which was when we were out at the sort of English cottage in the middle of the field doing the green fire thing. Mm. And I remember Pierre, our first AD, had come on the walkie and said, there's 45 minutes until a absolute pouring rain storm front comes through. And we already knew because my hair was flat and you were out there with a little butane curling iron and an umbrella trying to make it work. You were such a hero that
it's,
day.
Humidity's not our friend, man. It's just not our friend.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I think that's another thing actually that we should talk about. And again, you know, anyone who's never been to a set or is in any way unfamiliar with how a set works is touches. It's called touches. Before every take of every scene, hair and makeup come in and you get anywhere between 40 seconds to maybe a couple of minutes to make our makeup look fresh. Now, the first scenes of the day, that's not normally too much of a big deal. Haven't done very much. We've only been there for an hour. Nobody sweat through their makeup. I've managed to restrain running my fingers through my hair for the first 20 or 30 minutes of the day. When we get to sort of literally the 11th hour of being on set, shit starts to get a little looser. And that 30 seconds of touches isn't necessarily enough. So these the teams that come on, these like heroes that come on and just quickly go, how do we have this morning? Okay, great. Where were you just previously to this scene? Because it has to match that. Or if we haven't filmed it yet, then let's make it simple because it has to. We will have to match it at the end of the next scene and do all of those sort of these like astronaut calculations in your head instantaneously and then quickly touches up. So tell us a little about that. Again, like the sort of calm chaos that happens when someone yells touches.
Yeah, that's basically you. That's it. It is the calm chaos or just chaos.
Or just chaos.
Or just chaos.
I mean, you know, there's so many touches, you know, in between takes, especially for you guys with the fighting, like the fighting scenes is the one. And it's to try to keep the continuity. It can be tough. It can be tough. You have to be on top of it, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you certainly are. And now, obviously, you've worked on a huge variety of genres over the years. And starting on, according to our research, Degrassi was something you did sort of earlier on in your film and TV career. So that's very different from then coming into this world of creatures and demons and things like this. But, you know, sort of tell us a little bit about what that experience was like for you.
So Degrassi was fun. Degrassi was my first, because I did the music videos. And then when my first type of union work actually was on a kind of like a music video show that was Cheetah Girls.
Oh my God.
Because it was a lot of dancing.
My childhood. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
I did the Cheetah Girls.
I'm fangirling.
Yeah. So, but I was still an assistant around those times. So then when I did Degrassi, it was my first department heading type show. And you get an ensemble cast of 18 kids who that season, especially the girls, decided to all get extensions down to their butt.
Oh, no.
Long, great length extensions. Yeah, and they'd all come in the morning with soaking wet hair that you had to get them then ready within like, you know, a 2 hour span.
Oh my gosh,
with
Ryan.
No assistance, by the way.
Wow.
It was a lot of work, but it was also fun because, you know, you got to be contemporary. And the thing is, I really wanted to bring them up because previously, especially Degrassi, they would kind of do their own hair and makeup.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So then kind of like when I started, maybe the season before I started is when they actually started having hair and make, like people do, like actually do them. And they wanted them to kind of be a little more contemporary and up with the other shows that were their competitive shows at the time, like the OC and whatever. So that's what I tried to do. And it was a lot of work, but it was fun. You know, met Drake,
that's
AKA Aubrey Graham. So he's a cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A little behind the scenes, hometown Toronto history.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Talking about assistants and teams and stuff like that. So you, from my sort of fairly limited knowledge, you as a head of department get to pick your team. So how does that happen? Do you have people who travel with you? Do you have a group that you normally use? Do you, especially, you know, Toronto, I think is sort of the fairly local show. So you, I would imagine, have a group of people, or they're like, we're going to take a chance on these ones. Or how does that work? How does assembling your team work?
So it's not easy. There are people that you use for certain projects. And also, I think you do take a chance on other people and see how it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Like personalities, mixing personalities can be difficult at times. And I do have my go-to people for sure when they're available. For where I am right now, I couldn't bring anybody. But I did thankfully meet some great people.
So how does that work? When you meet people, is it like auditioning or like just applying for a job? You send a resume? Like what, how does that?
You give them a wig and say, quick, quick, do a style. Quick, make this happen.
Do this. Make this. And then hit them with a hose. Like we're going to be filming in the rain.
Come in like an AD. Like, 5 minutes.
Go,
five
minutes. Do it.
Are you done yet? Are you done yet?
Yeah. 5 minutes. Yeah. Well, it's tough. It's tough, man. I'll be honest.
Yeah.
You kind of look at people's CVs and hope that they're truthful with some of the things that they have on their CVs or their experience.
Oh, that's interesting.
Wait, is that common?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Oh my god!
Somebody could be part of a team, but have a very small role to play. And then there's others that have huge roles on that same team. So you never really know what you're walking into with somebody new. It could be a great experience, or it could be a bit challenging at times. So it's really, really tough. Back home, I kind of know the talent pool to pick from, and also there's people that are amazingly talented, but your personalities just don't mesh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I'm like, I try to be drama free. So, you know, I try to pick the people where like we just get along and don't butt heads. So,
I think that's so smart. We've spoken about that just from our point of view briefly. And I think in any career, I don't understand why people wouldn't. Like, if I have the choice between working with someone that I know as a decent human being versus someone I know as a dick, there's a fairly clear choice of who I'm going to go with. Like there's, you know, and then adding the, like, I know people who, for example, don't work well, like at nights or under time crunches or that sort of thing. And I'm like, this is going to be that kind of show. I don't know if this is the right thing for you to do. You're fantastic at what you do, but if you're going to start letting things slip here and there, because these are the parameters that we're going to be working under. But it is funny that you mentioned lies on the CV, and Kat, it's even funnier that you're surprised. Like we're actors. All we do for a living is lie about what we do.
I don't.
Like, that's all we do. You know what I mean? Like, someone approaches us and they're like, hey, this show Shadowhunters came up. Have you ever done any martial arts? And I'm like, me? Fucking black belt over here. Yeah, man. I'm black belt in Kwai Jin Lo. It's a new one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm great. And then you just got to pick it up. You got to figure it out. Like, can you ride a horse? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They used to call me Captain Equestrian as a kid, for sure. Yeah, I know how to ride all the different brands of horses. No idea, but you got to figure it out.
I don't know, man. I have too much of a guilt complex. I'm too honest. I'm like, well, a little bit. I don't know. I did it once in Girl Scout.
Right.
I can learn.
But you know what? That's important. And I think it's important for people to be honest with other people and themselves. Just be like, I'm not great at that.
Mm-hmm.
I could learn how to do it better, or I don't know how to do that. And I'd rather someone tell me they don't know how to do something and I can work with that, as opposed to saying, I could do that, and then they can't.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, that's a really good point, actually. That's a really good lesson for any aspect of this industry and kind of for life, for, you know, our listeners out there to take away that if you don't know how to do something, if you're unsure, if you don't necessarily feel confident, it's okay to admit that and to reach out to someone for guidance, because someone, you know, as kind and wonderful as you is more than happy to teach as well as employ.
Yeah, I would rather someone be honest. And I, like you said, I would rather, and then I could teach them, you know, my way of doing it and be like, hey, it's not the only way this works for me. If you find a better way, then you could do that.
Totally.
So I'm actually, I think, a little too lenient as people take advantage of that. But you know what? It is what it is.
Well, that's interesting.
Is there, so that's an interesting question then, I guess, because it, or I think there's a trap that people can fall into, both on our side of this industry and from the viewer's side, that like, oh, you've made it. Like you've learned all of the things that you need to learn. And that's just simply not the case. Like it doesn't matter what level you're at, like you're constantly learning new things. And I think it's a dangerous precedent to set, to tell people that that's not the case, and to either work with or be around people who think that their cup is full, as it were, that they could, that there is no more for them to learn. Cause then like, what are we doing here? Like, where are we going? What's the next step? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And you know what, now that I'm getting a few years older in life, I have no tolerance whatsoever for that stuff.
Yeah.
Honestly, like this is something you just mentioned, like, you know, as the years go on, I'm in my 30s now, Ryan. I was like late mid 20s when you and I met. It was like a long time ago now. We filmed that stuff a while ago. Like it really took me, this whole thing has been so lovely because we do get to go this real trip down, like, wow, that was like closing in on a decade ago that we did that, which is wild. But that, you know, hopefully you'd still have some fairly fond memories. Like, what are your favorite days that we did? Obviously, well, not the nights. We'll accept that that wasn't super fun. That's okay.
Or nights. Dom, we were pretty entertaining some nights, I'll tell you that. I'm sure our shenanigans got silly.
Yeah. I think I really like whatever the days were when we're at the studios. I really enjoyed the studio days. I don't know why, but I really just liked being at the studio better than the locations. But the locations were fun too. I think there was a lot of, like, the funny thing is I can't pinpoint it, but there was a lot of fun stuff with you guys. Like on a whole, I would say just, and then when you all got together in between takes.
Yeah.
Because I like to people watch, and I literally could just sit there and just watch you guys just interact with each other, just going at each other. That's the fun. It was a good group. Yeah. I would say a good group of people together, you know, with the different personalities, but it worked.
Exactly.
It worked. Yeah. Which is interesting because it easily couldn't have done, you know, with such like vastly different people from such vastly different backgrounds. It very easily couldn't have worked out. And it just did. You should have come back for season two, man. We had temperature control in the studio. No more like 40 degree studios with the cameras breaking down. It was great. It was amazing. Fine. It took us a year, but we got it.
but you know, you were in the trenches with us, which was pretty wonderful. But, you know, you were obviously off doing other amazing things.
That's the tricky thing. Like, you get used to someone who's so good at what they do, and it makes them incredibly popular. So it's like, nah, I can't come back because I'm now doing this other thing that they wanted me to do. And I'm like, why do they get to have you? That doesn't seem super fair. We enjoyed having you. What's going on there?
I know. Well, yeah, and that happened time and time again on Shadowhunters. And that happened so much. We were always so proud of people going on and doing other things, but we missed you.
Ah.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all.
For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
I will say, it is one of my favorite horror franchises. And when I found out you were responsible for the Pennywise look, I definitely fangirled and had a moment of pride and maybe shed a happy tear.
Aww.
So tell us about that.
Well, it's not bittersweet because it was more sweet than bitter. But I will be honest, I had a bit of a hard time leading up to that because I had worked on a show and I think because I was very tired, like stretching myself to the limits, and it really took its toll on me. And I was like, I don't think I have thick enough skin to be in this industry anymore.
Oh, wow.
I just don't want to work with people that are assholes.
Fair enough.
Or like, you know, actively, you know, do things to just mess with you for no good reason at all. And you're like, I don't get it. Like, why are people so mean? And I was like, I don't. Mm-hmm. And then you know, you think, well, if they're like this now, and this is like a small pool, what happens if you go to a bigger pool and everyone's like that? And I don't think you're going to be able to swim with the, you know, the big boys or girls, whatever, you know. And I was like, I don't know. Then I got a phone call, and one of my friends, she's like, could you come out to work on this movie? And I was like, no, you know what, I don't think so. I think I just need to take some time off. And then I got another phone call from another friend. And they're like, so Ryan, could you just come and work on this movie? You'll just be with the prosthetic guys. All you gotta do is put a wig on a clown. And I was like, I don't know. Like, a clown? And they're like, well, it's Pennywise. And I talked to a few of my friends. They're like, he's iconic. You have to do it. I was like, I don't know about no clown. And then, the prosthetic guys, they're like, no, they're really good guys. They're like, you'll just be with us. You're not going to be with anybody else. It's going to be fun. And I said, okay, fine. And that was one of the biggest decisions I made and probably one of the best decisions I made and had such a good time on that movie. I'm so happy that I made that choice.
That's so wonderful.
And not the other choice.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, great news. It's because I was, I mean, we know obviously you're sat in a hair and makeup trailer. Like before you started the story, we knew that this wasn't going to end with you quitting hair and makeup. You know what I mean? Like we could see that that's not the case.
Yeah.
But there is that concern. Like I think any actor, artist, anyone in this industry worth their salt has had that question in their mind at least one point where they're like, man, I don't know. This is much harder than, and people do describe it as very difficult. Like normal people will be like, if you want to do it, it's tough.
Yeah.
And everyone goes through that point where they're like, I don't know. Like, this is too much. This is more than a human being is meant to sort of deal with on a daily basis. So let me just speak for me, the fans of Shadowhunters and the many, many fans of the It franchise. And say thank you to your two friends who begged you to come and be a part of it and rejuvenate your love in this.
Yeah, no, it was really, it was so fun.
And it's also, it sounds like at least it's a testament to the Toronto film community as well, which I know all of us have a very large fondness for. And it is something that is a supportive family of that nature. And that's one of the things I love most about Toronto and about you and everyone else that I met doing Shadowhunters. Everyone, it is a community and you all do tend to, you know, support each other and know each other and bring each other into things and lift each other up when you're going through these moments. Mm-hmm. And that's such an important thing. We spend more time with each other than we do, you know, with our own families and
families. Yeah.
And you need that. Yeah. You need that support system to get through those days.
But you totally need that support system.
Yeah.
But so happy I did that. So fun. So, Andy Muschietti, who's amazing.
I love Andy so much.
Yeah.
He's such a good dude.
Such a good dude. Him and his sister, Barbara, they're like amazing to work with. And he basically, because he was a storyboard artist, he drew the picture and they kind of already had it assembled. But Andy was like, you know, could you do a little bit more of this and a little more of that? And I took the wig and I had to fix it up and do my little touches to it. And then that became the iconic Pennywise look.
Amazing.
That's incredible.
How many did you have? How many wigs did you have? Because there's a lot of like blood and gore and special effects and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How many did you have for
there was
when the blood gun goes awry?
There was two wigs and then there was a third. So technically there was three wigs, but two of this kind of the same. But one was the hero and one ended up being the stunt double. And then in the first movie, there was a kind of other scenes where all of a sudden it kind of grew long. I don't know why. But so then those were the three wigs. Like, I don't know. All Andy's ideas.
Wow. That seems like a brave choice to only have the two.
Yeah. Like, goodness. Could you clean
we've
it?
We've all worked with actors before, like smoking or whatever, and something happens. Like,
well, I'll tell you, Bill Skarsgård is amazing, and he was very respectful of the process, very respectful of the makeup and the hair and everything. Mm-hmm. So he was such a professional, so such a trooper. But yeah, like it didn't get messed up, believe it or not. So,
wow.
I mean, yes, amazing. I was able to clean it. I was able to recolor. I was able to, you know, do all sorts of stuff, and it was pretty good. And so for the first movie, I was just his, I guess, hair personal guy. And then the second movie, I was the department head. I was in the movie for 2 seconds, guys.
What?
2 seconds.
Wow. Really?
How did I miss you?
Where? When?
So there's a scene with McAvoy where he is in the studio at the beginning of the movie, like talking to his like wife, who's an actress.
Yeah.
I'm the hairdresser that's doing her hair.
That's okay. I have to
oh,
watch
no
the movie
way.
Now. I gotta go back and watch.
Yeah. Wow,
that's amazing.
Yeah. Wow, they snuck you in. Was that just one of those conversations? Like I know I've done this before on movies where they're just like, someone didn't show up, or like we just need someone. Like, and they're like, hey Ryan, you know what you're doing with hair? Could you come and make this look real for us for a second?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. He wanted to get a lot of the crew in that whole scene, so.
Oh,
I think
cool.
It was Peter Bogdanovich was like supposed to be the director of that whole thing. So all the crew that was there was really the crew of the movie.
That's so cool.
No way. Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a nice idea. That's a really cool that's a really cool way of doing it. That's
a nice
awesome.
Little nod to the hard work of the crew.
So you worked with Isaiah twice, obviously, because Isaiah was...
yes, he was in it.
The man's just following
was
you
in
around.
It number two.
Yeah.
It's so funny because we had he got cast in it, I think in between season 3 and what should have been season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we got cancelled in between. So the script came out for these last two episodes that we ended up doing. Mm-hmm. And it literally says in the script and the stage directions, it says Luke enters uncharacteristically clean shaven. And we were all like, the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
Sure enough, his beard's gone, but it's because he'd done it in the middle and he had to shave for it. So he had to, all of a sudden he turned up and he just had no beard, which I thought was great.
Which we had never seen him without facial hair. We'd known the man for almost 5 years and had never seen him clean shaven. Yeah, it was
never.
Well, I mean, he looks amazing no matter what. It's Isaiah Mustafa. Yeah. Like, you can't make him look bad if you try. But
can't make him look bad.
But, oh my gosh, it was a new revelation for all of us, I think.
So this moves us on quite neatly to one of my favorite new shows, The Umbrella Academy.
Yes!
I love The Umbrella Academy. The kid... The kid who plays the 40-year-old, I can't remember his name.
Oh my God, he's Aiden.
Aiden Gallagher, Aiden. Who plays number 5.
I did a movie with Emmy over the pandemic.
I love Emmy.
Yeah, she's like just a sunshine of a human.
Yeah.
Yeah, I this is what I think is so funny when you watch a show like that and you watch these kids and you're like, I'm quite a bit older than you. And I would love to be that good. And I don't think I am that good. And that's really annoying. Like, you're doing a better version of an adult than I do in my sort of day to day, which is really like, it's a trippy thing to deal with. Did you come back for season 3?
No.
What did you do on the Umbrella Academy?
I just did season 1.
You did season 1?
Yeah. Well, I just did season 1 because then I went and did it 2.
Oh, so I see. So then again.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, okay, that begs the question. Then tell us a little bit about that, because again, that's another completely different world in this same kind of genre of sci-fi, superheroes and supernatural and all of this. So you were coming in to a completely new universe. So what was that? How was that experience for you having done Shadowhunters and It and then coming into this?
Yeah, it was so fun. Umbrella was really cool. I guess once again, like just kind of creating the characters, like, and then what their personalities were, mm-hmm. was really, really, really cool. But also because it was based off of a comic book, we really didn't stay true to the looks of the books. We kind of just said, okay, let's create a new thing, which was kind of mm-hmm. fun. Which I don't know. It was way different than Shadowhunters in that respect, because it was, when I did it, it was kind of contemporary based. Well, so was Shadowhunters, but everyone kind of like had a normal-ish look. Wasn't too out there.
Well, because it existed in the real world, in the contemporary world. Like, our world was hidden, so it was this. Right. You know, you didn't have to look like a normal person walking down the street, whereas these guys had to look, in fact, even more so, because at the beginning of season 1, these guys are all somewhat hiding who they are, right? So they have to be able to just mix into, like, the world. Well, I think you did a brilliant job. I loved that show.
Oh, thank
it's
you.
Great.
I really wish they had more, like, monkeys in it. That's all.
More CGI monkeys?
Yeah.
Were there more monkeys in the car? I never read the comic books. In the comic books, there were a bunch of them.
It was just a matter of fact, like, oh, there's just, you know, Mr. So-and-so or Mrs. So-and-so walking down the street. So I wish we had a few more of those. But anyways, the one we had was really good.
That's fascinating. See, these are the things that you learn.
That nobody ever gets to know until we talk to the people who were behind the scenes of the whole thing.
Yeah. No, that was fun. Once again, that was another great bunch of people together that was awesome, mm-hmm. you know? Tom Hopper, like everybody, Emmy.
Tom's doing amazingly now as well. Like, there are, I like, he is anything that's sort of going for like a handsome British guy. Tom's our guy. Tom's the guy getting it. And then like, oh, good for you, son of a bitch.
Tom's our guy.
Really happy for you. He's supposed to be the nicest human being as well. He's supposed to be so sweet, which makes it really difficult to be like jealous and annoyed. You know, I've heard nothing but good things about him. And I'm like, that's wonderful. Nice. Yeah. He's talented and handsome and successful. He couldn't have been a dick. Like, that would have made it easier.
You know what? Dom, he's just too tall, Dom. He's too tall. It is.
There
it is. He's too
tall. How tall is he in real life?
I don't know. 6'4". Maybe he's not that tall, but...
Why did I ask?
Dom, you're so
I knew I was
going to
ask. I knew it was going to upset me. Why did I ask? I'm like... Okay, I'm not really
Dom,
that tall.
You're still
I look
tall.
Very
like,
tall
I'm,
next
I'm
to Kat.
I'm sitting here at 5'5". And it's,
I'm a lot
you know,
taller than you. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
I'm taller than you for sure.
Yeah,
for sure, for sure.
Yeah.
Ryan, what is there anything you're excited about sharing or like talking about what you've got coming up?
Oh, well, I mean, it's announced, so I think I could talk. I can't really talk about it, but I could talk about that there is a Netflix movie coming out. It's called Slumberland, so that would be a cool one. Jason Momoa's in it.
So that's not a secret.
It's been announced. So that's not
the
a secret,
like Dreamland but... one, right?
What's that?
It's like Netflix's Alice in Wonderland kind of deal. It's like the dream she can like figure out a Dreamland. I think I just read something about this.
So there you go. That you said most of it, kind of the same.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't want to get you in any trouble.
Well, I don't think there's any trouble. I mean, it's called Slumberland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if they've really said much about it, but you know, you got the gist.
Well, Dom, if you say it, Ryan can't get in trouble.
Right.
Yeah, Ryan, and they can't fire me from that show. Although maybe they could, they like, imagine if Netflix heard the podcast and they were like, well, you did just say this thing about our other Netflix show, so I think we're going to axe your contract from the show that you're on now. Like,
no!
Made a huge mistake.
No. Aside from that, I mean, I literally just got hired on a series yesterday.
Well, congratulations.
I can't talk about that one yet.
Congratulations. Yeah, of course. We kind of paved over one as well, because I was like, it's just occurring to me that you sort of were fairly responsible for like some pretty iconic looks over the last like 5-10 years.
It's
from
Shadowhunters
to the Umbrella Academy to the It franchise. And we kind of skipped over Star Trek. Like you had a big hand in Star Trek as well.
Let's talk about Star Trek. Because again, that's something, as you've talked about with the comic book for Umbrella Academy or the books for Shadowhunters, this is Star Trek. It's one of the biggest sci-fi fantasy franchises ever.
Ever. Well, I did season one of Star Trek Discovery, which was really cool to work on because we had Sonequa Martin-Green, Michelle Yeoh, come on, Michelle Yeoh.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. Michelle Yeoh.
And many more that I can't remember the names right now. But it was really fun. Jason Isaacs.
I love Jason. He played my dad in the pilot ages ago.
Is it? Listen, I kept trying to get him to put a white wig.
That's where my head would have been as well. Or just have him say Potter. Yeah. Once. Yeah. Just all I need is once. I can use it as like my ringtone. That's all I need.
Yeah. He did not love that stuff, but he's so nice. He's so nice. So
he is.
Jason Isaacs, who else was, anyways, there was a lot of great people on that one. What was fun about that show is I got to really tell a story through hair and hair texture and that it's literally like the first black female lead of a Star Trek series ever. And that we got to tell the story through her hair, season one, because she is she like a captain or something. What was she? She was, and then she kind of, she was raised Vulcan, and she had, kind of like this short kind of crop, smooth hairstyle. And then as she does a mutiny, and goes to prison, and then her hair is natural. And so she's got the short, natural kind of hair, which was amazing to work with Sonequa and to collab with, because we really wanted to show like that through texture, like hair texture, to be proud of it. Like, you don't have to have straight hair as a black woman. You can have your natural texture. And to me, that was so important to showcase that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember reading articles about that when it came out in all the trades. It made such a big splash and made such an impact for so many people. And I mean, the fact that, you know, you are largely responsible for that, that's A, incredible, and B, something to be really proud of.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun. I mean, and then we got to do like other stuff. We got like, you know, Vulcans and Klingons, although the Klingons had no hair that season. One thing I can say, even though there is a level of creativity, there's also a level of definitely everything has to be approved by the higher ups. And so there was a few times where you kind of feel like it's pulled back a little bit.
I see.
Unlike Shadowhunters. So there's a bit of that in that world where I wish that I could have pushed the envelope a little bit more, but there was only so far that it could have went, but that's okay.
Right.
I didn't do season two, but I went back for season three because at season two I was doing Umbrella Academy, and then I went back for season three.
It's like, it's honestly like you come in and do a season one and then find the next season one. Like, what other revolutions can I make in hair? I mean, I want to start something new and then, yeah, I guess I'll come back and do your one as long as there's not another season one or another like Stephen King iconic horror thing that I need to put together. Like, it's just like, I like making things. I like making the start for everything and making everyone love the hair, and then I'm just going to peace out.
You're the world building guy.
The world building guy, honestly. No, you know what it is? Really, you just kept, like, people keep offering you other jobs. And then if there's a lull in between the next season picking up, sometimes you just have to take the thing mm-hmm. that's in front of you. And that's kind of what has happened, why I don't end up sometimes coming back, unless they literally tell you from the get-go, we're doing X amount of seasons and we want you for all of them.
Yeah.
It's really hard sometimes. Like with you guys, your options, like you have to do X amount of seasons. Whereas us, it's like they don't do that for the regular crew, right?
Yeah.
So that's how sometimes we get snatched up by other projects.
Yeah. And I'm sure you do because you're so good. Like, you know, that's what we were sort of briefly touching on earlier. Like if you're good at creating this stuff, if you're good at what you do and you're a nice person mixed in with that as well. Why wouldn't people be snatching you up? You know what I mean? Like, it's a very easy thing to be like, of course, we're going to take him over to us.
Well, now you know, look at you. They're, exactly. They're snapping you up across the pond.
And now I'm all the way in Bonnie Scotland.
Bonnie Scotland. How bonnie is it, though? Is it nice there? Scotland gets about 2 weeks of nice weather a year.
It is currently raining, so not so bonnie today.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's bonny down here where I am.
I know. London's having a lovely summer and
it's beautiful.
Scotland's not. So,
what a pity. Well, Ryan, I just want to say, first of all, thank you so much. One, for the amazing things you did for us and our show, for starting all the mornings off with a smile, and then for coming on the show and being able to share some of this behind the scenes experience that just nobody really gets to hear about. So, it's really special that we get to share this stuff. So, thank you so much, dude.
Oh, listen, I appreciate it.
Yeah, and it really is such an incredible thing. You know, it's been so many years, and the fact that you were so kind to come back and chat with us, and truly, you know, clearly, given the vast expanse of your work, you are a master at what you do, and we wanted to celebrate that. So thank you for coming on and chatting with us and reconnecting and returning to the shadows, as it were.
Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This is a pleasant surprise.
I'm glad. I'm really glad.
And I'm so glad I did this. And you guys, I've been watching you guys and your careers. And I'm really happy when I see you guys on the telly.
Oh, amazing.
So, well, hopefully our paths will cross again soon.
Right. Hopefully it's not too long before we get to work with each other again. Everything fucking films in Toronto, so I'm sure we'll be up there at some point.
I know.
Yeah. It's a big world, but a small industry.
It'll happen. For sure. We'll make it happen.
Well, Ryan, enjoy your day on set. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much again. Seriously, thank you. Take care of yourself.
All right.
Return to the Shadows is hosted and executive produced by me, Dominic Sherwood, and Catherine McNamara. Our executive producer is Ling Lee. Our senior producers are Liz Hayes and Diego Tapia. And our producers are Hannah Harris and Kristen Vermilia. Original music by Alex Kinsey, performed by Alex Kinsey and Catherine McNamara.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today. Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.